prepare for our Sunday communion. Praise the Lord. Shall we pray? Shall we pray? Our Father and our God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for the opportunity to be in your presence as we remember today all over the world the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for opening our eyes to see the light of God. And thank you, Father, for you have not left us in darkness as you take us from glory to glory, taking us deeper and deeper in the revelation of your word. Use this exhortation, Heavenly Father, and take us even deeper as we look at the word now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The church will say, hallelujah. And I titled this exhortation, The Seed of God's Word. The seed of God's word. The scriptures tell us we are in this world, but not of this world system. Because we walk by faith and not by sight. That's why that songwriter says, I care not today for what the morrow may bring, the shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth over everything, and all of my worries are vain. The chorus says, living by faith,
hallelujah,
in Jesus I'm born. Hallelujah. The Christian faith is a practical faith. The Christian faith is an evidence-based faith. The Christian faith has visible results. If a man be in Christ, he's a new creature. It's not English. The testimony will show. I was lost, but now
I'm
blind. But now it's practical. It's practical. It's very easy for us to say you are lying, you are not a Christian. The reason is because there is an evidence to prove you're a Christian by their fruits. This is evidence. This word of God is practical. It's not grammar. It's not assumption. It's like a chemistry book that teaches you mix this solution with this solution, it will produce this. If you mix it, you will see it. However, he says, my people are destroyed for lack of this knowledge. Which knowledge? Knowledge is revelation. Revelation of the seed of God's power. Revelation of the power of the word of God. What you hear from God, his word, written, spoken, given the word of God. The day you get to know what is thus saith the Lord, what the word of God really is to a Christian, praise the Lord. Then you will understand when Jesus Christ told Peter in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 19.
And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven.
Uh-huh.
And whatsoever thou shalt bind on
now,
earth.
Now, when you receive the key to the kingdom of God, to the kingdom of heaven,
whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth
when
shall
you
be
receive
bound
that
in
key,
heaven.
Whatsoever you bind on earth
shall be bound in heaven.
And
whatsoever thou shalt
loose on earth
shall be loosed in heaven.
And it didn't say he'll give you the key. What did it say? Keys. Keys. It's Revelation. I want us to look at one of the keys now. Let's look at one of the keys that was given to Peter. It's not only to Peter, but to all the disciples that the key was given. That key is a revelation of the seed of God's word. It's one of those keys. This is the way Luke put it in chapter 8 from verse 4. Read it up to verse 15. It's something all of us know, but let's just look a little deeper.
And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And others fell on good ground and sprang up and bear fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear.
Go on.
And his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed,
this is the parable.
The seed is the word of God.
The seed that was planted is the word of God.
Those by the wayside are they that hear, and then cometh the devil.
They by the wayside are they that what?
That hear.
Everybody shout hear.
Yeah.
Shout hear.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no roots, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And they which fell among thorns are they, which when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart,
they have what?
Haven't heard the word.
Wait, see the description of the heart.
But that on the good ground are they which in an honest,
and good heart,
haven't heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience.
They bring it out with what?
Patience.
Patience. I pray some of these things I'm emphasizing will be able to catch it too and know why I'm emphasizing it. And so this parable is saying, telling us the word of God is a seed. Using it, using the physical things for us to understand the spiritual. How the physical things work, that is how the spiritual work. The sower is the believer. And the ground that you sow that seed is the heart. The one that ministers the seed is God himself that gives you the seed to plant. Amen. And this word of God, which is a seed, is mentioned as the theologians brought it out in 44 verses in the New Testament in Greek, the Greek lexicon, which is written in Greek, sperma. In English, it is translated as sperm. And we all know that has to be now. It's getting clearer. If the word of God is likened to a sperm, then you know sperm is for conception. And conception cannot take place without first planting the seed. If you don't plant the seed, the sperm, which is the seed, there will be no conception. Therefore, there will be no manifestation of any life. Fruit of the womb. And so in Mark chapter 4, Christ used three parables, you know, successfully like that, to illustrate that the seed of the word of God is the same thing the natural seed does for harvest. You see that spelled out in the three parables of Mark 4, verse 3 to verse 20, the parable of the soils. The next one again is from verse 26 to verse 29, the parable of the growing seed. And from verse 30 to 32, the parable of the mustard seed. Seed, seed, seed. Hallelujah. We need revelation. We walk by faith and not by sight. That is what the Bible says. That those who are justified live by faith. The judge shall live by faith. Romans 1:17 says so. The judge shall live by faith. Faith is a revelation. Revelation of what? Listen to what the word of God says. In Genesis chapter 8 and verse 20 to 22, there is a law. God works by principle. Listen to what he said.
And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord.
After God destroyed the whole world, now he's starting a new life with Noah and his family. Listen to a principle he left. But listen very well.
And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savour. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake.
Uh-huh.
For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth.
Mm-hmm.
Neither will I again smite anymore every living thing as I have done.
Uh-huh.
While the earth remaineth.
Now listen, he has now instead released a principle. Remember. He prospered the world. Beautiful weather. Beautiful climate. Everything man needed, he provided. But man misbehaved. Of all that God provided for man to enjoy, they were enjoying and being disobedient to him again. Please read that verse 21 again.
And the Lord smelled a sweet savour. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake.
Because the ground was cursed after Adam misbehaved. Go ahead.
For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. While the earth remaineth.
This is the law.
Seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease.
Again.
While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night.
So we can read this verse in the context of what we are saying today. Seed time, I am reading that verse. Seed time and harvest time, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest shall not cease. It's a law. It's a principle. It's a law of nature. You cannot cheat this law. You cannot beat this law. The laws made by man, smart people can bypass it. Without learning the material you are giving examination for, you can magu-magu and they will pass. You say you pass without the knowledge of what you passed. You can commit an offense and go to court with smartness. A guilty person can be set free. But Galatians chapter 6 verse 7.
Be not deceived.
Don't deceive yourself.
God is not mocked.
You cannot cheat God. You cannot bypass his law. You cannot bypass his principle.
For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap.
It is whatever you sow that you will reap. If you sow nothing, you will reap nothing. If you are in an agrarian community, everybody has his farm. When it is time, seed sowing time, you are lying down there at the home. When it is time for harvest, everybody is harvesting. What will you harvest? Nothing, because you did not sow anything. It is a law. And there is time to sow, and there is time to reap. Praise the Lord. And you that did not go to farm, when other people went to farm, you that did not sow your seed, then suddenly you woke up and you saw the other farmers going to harvest their crop. Then you now quickly also rushed. You also till your ground and then sow your own seed also. No matter how sincere you are, no matter what the justification you have for sowing your own, at that time you are sowing, the time you are sowing is their own time for their own harvest. They sowed according to the law. There is time to sow. There is time to reap. You have sown. You must wait for the time for what you sow to come for you to reap. So, when other people are testifying, you don't know when that seed of that testimony was planted. Then you jump and you go. And then you think that you too, tomorrow you will come and testify. Lie, you must wait for the appointed time. It's a law. That law can never be violated. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, we all know that. In verse 1, it is a law. It's a law. Everybody knows this scripture, yes?
To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to eat.
Verse 2 again.
A time to be born and a time to die. A time to
plant. There is a time to plant your seed.
And a time to pluck up that which is planted.
Everything there, the whole chapter is talking about time set aside for everything. And there is the beginning of that time. The time counts from when you sow. That is it. So stop comparing yourself with another person that has sowed the seeds last year and is reaping it this year. Then you too, you want to sow and then testify and say, why is my case different? Why am I not? Hallelujah. It is a law. It can never be violated. If you read the next parable that he gave there in Mark chapter 4 from verse 26, there's another lesson we can learn from there apart from the restoration ministry.
And he said, so is the kingdom of God. As if a man should cast seed into the ground.
The seed will be sown first.
And should sleep and rise night and day.
Yes.
And the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. First the blade.
When you plant that seed, there is a process for germination of that seed. Every seed you plant, there is a process for that seed to germinate. There's a process it will go through. How does that seed come up before harvest? What's the first thing that comes out?
First, the blade.
The blade.
Then the ear.
The blade is not yet time for harvest.
Then the ear.
The ear is not yet time for harvest.
After that, the full corn in the ear.
Uh-huh.
But when the fruit is brought forth,
thank you.
Immediately, he put that in the sickle because the harvest
the emphasis
is
there is that there is a process. And he said, he knoweth not how. You just plant and go your way. There's another law. The rain will fall. That seed will receive water. Whatever happens to that seed, you never know because you have planted it. In Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 5, that Ecclesiastes chapter 11, where we read, verse 5.
As thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning, sow thy seed.
No, it's okay, verse 5 is my emphasis. Read it again.
As thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child.
The man that planted the seed in the womb of the woman and the woman that received the seed. How the bones of that fetus in the womb is formed, the two of you, none of you know how it happens. But suddenly there will be a blade, small movement, but they go on for the belly. The pikin never form finish. Oh. The time allotted for that pikin is from 8 to 9 months. Until that time reaches, that baby will not be fully formed. The mother is looking at the appointed time. The shop looking at the appointed time. Doctors even give you the date. Estimated time of delivery. Praise the Lord. And so, Jesus Christ gave that parable and he ended in Mark chapter 4 verse 9 with that statement. There is a reason he made that statement.
And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear.
Why did he say he that has ear to hear, let him hear? Because faith cometh by hearing. He finished all these three parables. The mustard seed. The parable of the growing seed. And the parable of the sower. Three of them. And when he finished, he said, he who has the ear to hear, let him hear. What the Spirit is saying, what he's teaching. Did you hear? Any class, so every teacher, we ask that question, is that clear? The whole class will say, yes, sir. Isn't it? But there will be a test. There will be a test to confirm whether you had it or not. And so Jesus Christ decided to test his disciples to know whether they understood this teaching of the parable of this seed of the word of God. Because he said the sower sowed the word of God. The seed is the word of God. Did you understand? Everybody, yay, we understood. Okay, let's test. That is when Mark chapter 4, he wanted to confirm what he told them earlier in the parable of the sower. Let's see how, whether you will catch it. Verse 17.
Mark 4, 17. And have no roots.
From verse 16. Among the seeds that were sown. See one seed that was sown.
And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground. Who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness.
Do you understand? Yes. But the heart is still stony. No earth to receive and keep it. That's why the conversion of a believer begins with a heart of stone being changed to a heart of flesh. Ezekiel 36 says so. Read on.
Verse 17, and have no root in themselves.
They have no root in themselves.
And so endure but
they endure for a time.
Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, Immediately, they are offended.
Did you hear? Yes, sir. Okay, let me confirm whether you heard now. Mark chapter 4, from verse 35 now.
And the same day, when the evening was...
When?
The same day.
Now, the same day, after he taught them all this, what did he say?
When the evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side.
That is the word of God. The word came, let us pass over.
And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind.
Okay. Oh.
And the waves beat into the ship.
Why was the wave beating them like that? Because the word of God directed them to go to the other side. Their destination, you must not reach the promised land. You must not receive that blessing that has been released to you by God. Must not come to pass. But the word has been released. And the one that released it, let's finish reading that parable.
And the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Verse 38. And when he was in the inner part of the ship, asleep on a pillow.
He was there relaxed, sleeping, while the storm was going on.
And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish?
Oh.
And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm.
Oh.
And he said unto them,
now this is where I am going.
Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea?
Why are you so fearful? Is it not you and I that are going to the promised land? Do you think that the water was not also entering the boat where Jesus was sleeping? He was sleeping there. He had given them the word. They are expected to take the word that he gave them and make the word work. How were they to make the word work? By confessing, thus said the Lord. Confess that word. Rebuke all the obstacles by praying without stopping. Quoting the word of God. Quoting the word of God. Quote the word of God. The word that proceeded forth from the mouth of God will not return to him void. He said, let's get over to the other side. You must reach the other side. The word of God never fails. You must reach the other side. But how many believe that what God said he will do, that is what he will do? It's the problem of the Christian faith. It's the problem of the Christian faith. If you look at all the trouble, the wind and everything around you, the promise that God gave you, you will never see it. In Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 4 and verse 5, what did the wise man say?
He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones...
Don't think of how it will happen. You are looking at the wind. You are looking at the trouble. After a prophecy has been given to you, trouble starts again to make it look as if it will not work. If you look at that problem, instead of looking at the word of God that has been sown concerning that problem, you will not reach your destination. You will not testify. That's the reason many people's testimonies have been hanging all these years, delaying all these years. You have stopped the seed of the word of God to germinate concerning your situation. If you say to this mountain, Mark 11, verse 23, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea,
and shall not doubt his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, He shall have whatsoever he saith.
You know why you have to believe that it will come to pass? You have to believe. Because some people don't believe. He said, how that seed will come about until it grows, you don't know how. Just plant it and go your way. If you planted that seed and you see the blade come up, then you remove the blade to look at it, you will start all over. You have killed that seed. And that is the kind of faith many of us operate. You will quote the word of God and use your mouth again and quote a negativity that cage that word of God from prospering. So you start all over. And some people think it is by changing from Prophet Sydney to Prophet Jayola to Prophet. There are some of you, for the same problem, you have seen all the prophets in this church. For the same problem. Do we have different gods behind those prophets? And each time the word comes by a prophet, you receive it. But because Bila said the delay, you decide to change to another prophet, you have just uprooted that seed. You will start all over. And all this because you have not yet caught that principle of watering the word. Water it. Be in expectation. Confess it, that is the watering. He said it. He will do it. Remind him. Challenge him. You spoke it. You said it so time. Those who believe the word of God to them, they even have what they call book of revelation. Dream they have, they will write it down. Prophecy they receive, they will write it down plus date and everything. So that they look at it and keep reminding God. That is the watering. That is the watering. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so in Hebrews chapter 4, concerning Israel and concerning believers of this day, verse 1 and verse 2.
Let us therefore fear.
Listen very well.
Lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them.
It will not profit you because you didn't mix what you had with faith. See, when Mark chapter 11 verse 24 said this, let's read it. Mark chapter 11 verse 24.
Therefore I say unto you,
listen very well,
whatsoever ye desire, when ye pray,
what shall you do?
Believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them.
If you don't believe, uncle, you will never have it. Now, there must be an evidence that you believe. There must be an evidence that you believe. The evidence there is still another condition of the heart. That's why I talk about honest heart, sincere heart, good heart. That heart is a heart of expectation. You have hope. Now, what I'm believing God for, his word has spoken concerning it. I am waiting for the manifestation. It's a condition of the heart. It's an expectant heart. A heart full of hope. Therefore, you are not deterred by the situation around you. There is the adage that says that hunger will get hope, not the key person. All of you, when they do dry fasting, if you are sure, by the time you will break it, there's food to eat. You know, they feel that hunger too much. But when you are not sure, why wait till you go chop? When you fast, you know, say, another continuation of the fast itself. Sometimes you go think, you will die before the fasting finish. It's the attitude or evidence of those who believe when they pray that God will answer. And the reason is because you prayed according to the will of God. You prayed God's promises. Prayer is pleading his promises. To sow the seed of the word of God is to plead the word of God, the promise of God, for that situation. When you sow what God says into that situation, it does not return void. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. The only thing that God has to do to every one of us, his heritage, is his word that he gives us. His word is incorruptible. Hallelujah. It cannot decay. Moth cannot eat it up. Hallelujah. Once you plant it, it goes with all the power to bring results. Amen. Man can prescribe fake drug for your medical condition, but the word of God is not corruptible. When you sow it, it produces results. That is what Peter called it. Even our birth, the new birth, if it is the word of God that got you born again, that seed that got you born again, you had the word, it pricked your heart, and you responded, men and brethren, what shall we do? If it is that word that is in you, hallelujah, then you will have genuine conversion. 1 Peter chapter 1, that is what he said, verse 23, 24, 25. That is how he described it.
Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God.
The word of God is an incorruptible seed. That word liveth and abideth for some time.
Forever.
Forever.
For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth.
But what?
But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you.
And that is the word I am preaching now. If you take heed to what I'm telling you today, it's what I live by. I'm witnessing what I have confirmed. God raised me up and led me to follow him by faith. By faith. I don't wait for manifestation, fire in my hand. No. If you come to me for prayers to join you in prayer and pray for you, hallelujah, to join you and pray for you, I don't wait for vision. I don't wait to hear a voice. If the vision come, it is a jara. When you come, my mind goes immediately to the word of God concerning that situation. It is that word I will quote over you. And I will leave and I will go. It has never failed. And so my brother, I've given this testimony on some occasions, that I visited his home somewhere in New York. The family may be watching us now. An old anti-message believer before he went to America, elderly man, joining us online. He said, Brother Moses, I was in his house with my wife. He said, we watch you. You will go to the congregation. Somebody say he has this problem. And then I will hear you say, now, it will disappear. He said, what gives you the confidence to say it like that? The whole world is watching you. Aren't you afraid that the thing will not go? Believer, Christiano. Then I asked him, I said, has it ever failed? He said, it has never failed. That's why I want to ask you, what is the secret? I said, the secret is the revelation that the word of God concerning planted in any situation will not fail. Did he not promise us healing? Did he not say, you lay hand on the sick shall recover? I am laying hand on him. If that person does not recover, Nami to come. Nami go there ashamed. His God that will be ashamed now that his word didn't come to pass. I lay my hand according to his word and it didn't come to pass. If you want to challenge God concerning his word, do it publicly. It works faster than if you're in your room. Because his integrity is tied to his word. Is somebody understanding me? His integrity is tied to his word. Even if I am a fornicator and I have just left a prostitute taking my bath, I didn't even bath. Then I'm coming to stand and I quote the word of God and everybody is hearing me. God is not going to honor me. He is honoring his word. He will back it up. That the word of God is his integrity. The best time I ever perform miracle is not in my office. It's when all cameras are watching. I got told once, I said, God, don't disgrace yourself here. Better answer. Because I told them you can do it. Your word is so. I've been alive. Now me and God, they talk. You know, go hear me when I tell them. All that time, where I live and where they dance, now here they talk to. It has never failed. I'm not talking about the one that I will see a revelation. There's somebody here like this. I know that one now. That's it. That, then don't show him now. You won't do him. I'm talking about me. Me. Quoting the word of God. It is written. It is written. You showed me on so death. You spoke on so death. A prophet like Prophet Joseph will do everything to confirm that this is God talking to him. And he gives you a word from the Lord. Will you still doubt him? What is the purpose of the discernment? Calling your phone number. So that you will hear the message. The message is not your phone number. Your message is not the name of your village. It's so that you will know what is coming forth now. It's not from Prophet Joseph. It's thus said the Lord. You will hold on to it. Remind God at any time. Quote it. Remind. Don't go to another prophet again. Why? Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 to 11. Give that assurance. For my thoughts
are not your thoughts.
They are neither, not your thoughts.
Neither are your ways my ways.
Your ways are not
Lord.
My ways, said the Lord.
For as the heavens are higher than the
earth. Listen
as
it describes the word that comes out of his mouth. Listen very well.
For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. Uh-huh. And my thoughts than your thoughts.
Listen very well.
For as the rain cometh down. And
the rain that fall from heaven.
And the snow from heaven. And returneth not thither.
If the rain fall, does it go back again? It landed there, it remains where it is sent.
But watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud.
It will do its work.
That it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater.
So
shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth.
Can you see?
It shall not return unto me void, but shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it.
This, how can I read this, meditate on this, and ever doubt anything I hear from God? You see why some of us move so confidently holding on to this God. When you speak any negativity around us, I will say, no, it's not possible. I must say it's not possible because I think I'm a strong man. It's because I know there is a word of God that is applied for that situation. Oh, glory be to God. Praise the Lord. The word word of God is described in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Catch the strength of the word of God.
For the word of God is quick and powerful,
uh-huh,
and sharper than any two-edged sword,
uh-huh,
piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thought and intent of the heart.
Uh-huh.
Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have
the word of God is quick there, has life, is living, and it's not just living, it's powerful. And it is a sword. What a sword does physically is what the word of God does spiritually, to tear down anything that will cause any hindrance for the manifestation of that word when it is sown in that situation. That is what the word of God does. No Iroko tree can resist the word of God. No power can resist the word of God. If you sow it for any situation, you will see the result. I believe it. And I'm saying this, what inspired this is because I see people, after going to healing and deliverance, they are struggling again to see me. So, when I preach here, do I point people to myself? I preach to build you up. I preach so that you will confirm what I also know. I know it so that I will give you confidence. Joshua went to spy the land and came back and said, we are more than able. More than. Do you think? And yet the Anakims were there. Giants. A tribe of giants. They fooled that place. At that time, physical weapons were physical. So the size of the soldiers determined the battle. You tiny one. That's why others. Why was the testimony of those 10 others different from the testimony of Caleb and Joshua? They were not looking at the problem. They were looking at the God they serve. He has given us this promised land. He will take us there. He will give it to us. What will happen? The Lord will settle it. They were not looking at the situation. They were looking at the promise of God. The God that parted the Red Sea. Hey! Do you know there were other battles they fought? The stones were coming from heaven and hitting the soldiers. The enemies. Hell stones were coming down from heaven. He uses fire. He uses, sometimes he uses breeze. He uses noise. He has many weapons. Tiny Israel, five nations will begin to hear noise of soldiers. Hey, like, no, say he bring all the angels to join and shout. Hey, they say, hey, there are many, there are more than us. They begin to run and scatter. He is the mighty one in battle. El Shaddai is the mighty one in battle. That is our God.
Jehovah is the mighty one in battle. El Shaddai.
Oh, yes.
The mighty one in battle. Glory to your name.
It takes care of every situation. You see why it is necessary to study the word of God? 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 puts it this way.
This is the boldness that we have in him.
What is the confidence?
That if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us.
And what is his will? His word. Take his word and apply it in any situation. He will hear us. And when you know he hears us,
and if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire.
That is why I say I know. He will answer. I know He will answer. Amen. If we boast at all, we boast in the Lord. Because we know what he said he will do. That is what he will do.
That is why you are Jehovah.
Stop calling me for prayer against sin. Look for the word of God that deals with sin. Psalm 109. Verse 9, what did he say?
Wherewith thou shall a young man cleanse his way?
Psalm 119. Is it? Psalm 119.
Wherewith thou shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking.
How will you cleanse your way?
By taking heed thereto according to thy word.
That is where the victory is. And verse 11.
Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against
thee. It's not prayer. Prayer doesn't stop you from committing sin. Fasting cannot stop you from committing sin. There is a word of God that will come and cleanse your heart and break your heart. And you will wake up and the nature of sin disappears when you quote the word. I don't know, anytime I see a woman, I just charge. I'm going to the mountain. You will jump woman at the mountain. You will jump woman at the mountain. Or from the mountain, you will come down, you will jam them on the road. Make it come be say, you come from the mountain in the night, and your house is at Surulere, and you have to pass through Ayilara Street. Wait, how many people know Ayilara Street? Eh? Wave your hand. Many brothers know Ayilara Street. What are you going to do for there? The whole street from beginning to the end are prostitutes. All the buildings there are prostitutes. So when you enter there, they sell their market. Now there you come, they pass to go to your home. You are coming from the mountain and your weakness in a woman. Okay now, you will not say, mountain cannot solve this. It is the word. We are in your heart. For any word of God to produce result, when you receive it, you quote it, you confess it, it is spoken to you, you will receive it in your heart. If you don't receive it in your heart and hold it in your heart and continue to meditate upon it, oh, glory be to God. Psalm number 1 from verse 1. Listen very well.
Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly.
Yes.
Nor standeth in the way of sinners.
Yes.
Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of
his
the Lord.
His delight is where?
In the law of the Lord.
That is his word.
And in his law doth he meditate day and night.
You meditate on that word. Where? How will you meditate? Because it's in your heart.
Day and night.
Not only on Sunday. When you are going to church, after today now, you don't know where you kept your Bible. Even this day, Bible now is with everybody. There is Bible app to download on your smartphones. You have no excuse at all. But you spend the whole day watching movie, watching, TikTok, YouTube, and all those nonsense that has no value to your existence on earth. Nothing. And there are so many there to catch your attention. That is why your heart is beclouded with. What will happen to such a person?
And it shall be like a tree planted.
You will be like a tree
planted by the rivers of water.
Uh-huh.
That bringeth forth its fruit in its season.
There is season. There is the sowing time. There is the reaping time.
His leaf also shall not wither.
Fellowship with God is always there.
And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper.
Your leaf withers. What is the evidence? To go church. You know, if you go church, at the slightest excuse, you are not in fellowship. Your leaf is withering. What will happen to the person, you say?
And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper.
That is the secret of prosperity. Planting the word of God in you and meditating upon it day and night. Day and night. Mary, something happened. The angels met the shepherd in the field, told them about the birth of Jesus Christ, told them, confirming what the angel had told Mary concerning the conception, immaculate conception. And in Luke chapter 2, verse 15, 18 and 19, up to 19.
And it came to pass,
listen very well,
as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord had made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart.
Pondered them in her heart. I think it's the same Luke chapter 1 where they said there shall be a performance of those things, because she believed. She received the word of God. She believed. And they said there shall be a performance of those things that have been spoken because she believed. Something that has never been thought of. Read it.
Luke chapter 1 verse 45. And blessed is she that believed. For there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord.
Because she believed. She received something that she has never had before, but because it is taught, said the Lord. I don't know, man, you say I'll be pregnant with a child. And the angel said, this is what this word will do. He spoke the word to her. She received the word, and the baby conceived according to the word of the Lord. What he said he will do, that is what he will do. And how he will do it, don't bother how he will do it. Just believe. Just receive it. Just believe it. By this time, next year, thus said the Lord. Thus said the Lord. That's why I always warn the prophets, be very, very careful. Very, very careful. Be very, very careful. Sometimes it is very difficult to differentiate between your own word and thus said the Lord. Be very, very careful, all of you that are gifted. If it is your own word you are speaking, God is not obligated to back your own word. But God is obligated to back his own. Take note of that. He gave us power of the spoken word. Say it and believe it and it will come to pass. But there are conditions that that word that you say may be empty words. They may be vain babblings. The reason is because God is not obligated to back your own word. The Bible says he heareth not the prayer of a sinner. Because the accuser of the brethren will make you a toothless bulldog. Because he knows the secret sin you commit. He knows. He knows the unforgiveness that you have in your heart. He knows what is coming out from you. It's from a defiled heart, a wicked heart. If you speak, there is a higher power than your own, power of the devil that will counter it. There is power in purity. There is power in purity. When your heart is clean, clear, you are forgiven. It's not locked up with gossip, with jealousy, with envy. And then you are saying, hey, I curse this tree. I curse this tree. The tree will bear fruit next year when you come. Nothing will happen. I bind you. So if you know you are a sinner, better depend on the word of God. Depend on his mercy. Walk in his mercy. Say, Father, I cannot do it on my own. Unless you take over, because every secret sin that they commit, you they see, I'm oh, Baba. Satan is telling you now that anything I talk, he will not back it up. Is that not the reason you they fear to go to your village? You know, say that Shara is strong, oh, he's strong, oh, I don't go play with him. Oh. But Jesus Christ said, the prince of this world cometh, he has nothing in me. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Because when I will be going, I know another word of God that I will hide under to go to that shrine. Hey, knowledge is power. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That is for sin. For your health. The Bible says he sent his word and he healed them all. Everybody knows that Psalm 107 verse 20. Isaiah 53 verse 5 says, by his stripes you are healed. By his stripes we are healed. How can I know this? And any sickness will kill me like that. The Bible says we lay hand on the sick in Mark 16 and the sick shall recover. That is also why we believe him when he spoke to me that we should be gathering every Thursday for anointing service. And James chapter 5 verse 14 was a given.
Is any sick among you?
Is anyone sick among you? Sickness here, I always say every Thursday, it's not only malaria, typhoid, kidney, lungs, heart, hypertension, under tension, and everything else. Not only that, including your business. Your business can be sick. Your marriage can be sick. Your education can be sick. Anything part of your life that is not as it should be, it's a sickness. What did he say? Is any sick among you?
Let him call for the elders of the church.
You see why all the ministers were the elders referring to? Not old men of age. The elders of the church are the fivefold ministry.
Let him call for the elders of the church. And let them pray over him.
Doing what?
Anointing him with oil in the name of
that
the Lord.
That is the secret of our Thursday morning anointing service. We quote this every Thursday to him because we have the revelation for it. Read it. See, there's even a blessing there.
Verse 15. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick.
You see?
And the Lord shall raise him up.
It's a promise. This, if I quote this alone for your situation, I am satisfied.
And if you have committed sins, they shall be forgiven.
See the power of the anointing. He said, if it is your sin that brought that upon you, it will be forgiven. So that problem will go when you are anointed. Don't miss Thursday program, especially those of you who are sick. Poverty and sickness. In fact, somebody says the worst sickness now. For your information, one bag of rice now is 110,000 naira. So many of us will not be able to eat rice again. For your information, one tuba of yam now is 10,000 naira. So they cut it now. They sell tuba of yam now according to pieces. One, they will cut it 10 pieces. Bring 1,000, take one, at least chop. For that day. You know, they see yam for store again. It's all by the way you can eat. They hope that next week you have another 1,000 to go and buy another piece. But do you know there is the word of God for us to prosper? Oh, glory be to God. It is the law of sowing and reaping. Because, oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18.
But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, For it is he that giveth the power to get
wealth. Did he promise to give you money? There is nowhere in the Bible where God promised to give you money. If you are praying, Lord, give me money. Lord, give me, I need 1,000, 20,000. I need 3 million naira. You are not praying according to the will of God. He will not hear you. What does he do?
For
he giveth the power
to get
the money you are looking for. Where is that power? His word. Read his word and do what he said. If you do this, you will make money. Do what the word of God says. The power he gave us is his word. That is where the power to make wealth is for us. There are miracles. Like you go and do lottery. Even lottery, you put a seed before lottery you won. If you didn't put anything there, will something come out? Oh yes, you can just sit down now. I'm looking for 20 million naira to start a business. And then you come and kneel down. After anointing service, as you go, you receive a phone call. Listen to me, oh. You receive a phone call. And from that brother that has forgotten you since, bring your account. I want to give you 30 million. Hey, I never knew you will answer me this way. I'm not going to ever miss anointing service again. It's not the anointing service, oh. Check very well. There was one seed you sowed somewhere. This is now the time to reap it. According to the word of God. If you don't give, it is Matthew 7 verse 12. What did he say? As you will that men should do to you.
Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you.
What should you do?
Do even so unto
to men.
Them.
For what?
For this is the law and the
it
prophet.
Is the principle of the kingdom. If you want to receive, be a giver. If you want your business to be protected, pay your tithes. If not, you will lose all. One problem will come. You clear everything. You start all over again. But you pay your tithes. And that nonsense try to devour you. Praise the Lord. People don't understand Malachi. Is it Malachi chapter 3, verse 10?
Malachi 3:10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse.
Listen very well.
That there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it.
And people think that when you pay your tithe, then you go and sit down. And then you go and sit down in your backyard. Where will the window open? What he does is he'll begin to give you business ideas that will open door. And your business will begin to expand. That is the meaning. Idea will just come to you like that. You just apply it. Bam. You see your business going to the next level. And if there is a devourer devouring your finance, I have a brother here. We know him. Ministers will know him. At the end of every year, he buys gifts. For us, that's how we know him. But the account departments know the amount he pays regularly for the television, for the power diesel, and as his own tithe every now and then. People don't know what the word of God says concerning taking care of ministers. Galatians chapter 6, verse 6. Just read that.
Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things.
You must remember your ministers. Do you know why? Proverbs 27 verse 18.
He that whoso keepeth the fig tree.
Again.
Whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. So he that waiteth on his master shall be honored.
If you tend a fig tree, you will enjoy the fruit of it. This ministry has a grace here. If you promote the work of the Lord in this ministry, you will benefit from the grace that is in this ministry. It is thus saith the Lord. People don't know the principle for prosperity. People don't know the principle of prosperity. Sorry, just urgently, the mother of David, Adeto Kumbo, is needed urgently at the medical department. Please. Your child is at the medical department. Quickly go to the medical department near the protocol office. Adeto Kumbo's mother. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When we talk about the secret of prosperity, there are people here, many of you, you practice it. And you are evidence that this thing is true. That particular brother I'm talking about came to me one time and said, for the past 3 or 4 years, every year in December, he will go home. When he comes back, he will discover that the beginning of the year, he will lose sometimes 40 million, 80 million in his business. Sile, what's your problem? If my name is not there, don't show it. Hallelujah. Every year, and he came to me, see what is happening, sir. This is a brother I know. And he doesn't show up. It took me more than 1 year to know who is this person that sends this type of offering every time. The one day I saw him, I told Pastor Thomas, I said, you see this name, when you see for a check every time. When he came to the altar, I said, now they stand there. So Pastor Thomas said, eh? No, you don't mean it. Then with one palm sandals, here you come. But he knows what is working on. And I sent her to Sister Marachi. Immediately, to Sister Marachi. Immediately, she went there, sat down. God opened the secret of what was happening. That is what he said, if you turn to the fig tree, you will reap the fruit thereof. You will eat the fruit thereof. And if you walk against a church that you belong, you will never participate in the blessing, the grace of that ministry. We will not directly or indirectly, manipulate people to bring offering. The reason is this man preaching has a revelation. If I depend on you, I will face frustration. But if I depend on you when there is a need, there will be a surprise. There was an equipment we needed. And we needed 2 shillings. Went there and needed a 2 point something million. Well, the church cannot afford such now. I went to my account and see if I could give him anything I had. We do. Then he said, somebody gave him money to keep. He will use the money to buy it. 2 point something. 2.2 or so. She laid 2.2 or 2.3 million. I said, oh, don't worry, buy it. We'll pay you back small. He bought it. 1 hour after, the brother is listening to me now from Germany. I saw my phone and I saw a receipt of 3.9 million naira that he sent to the church account. And I called the accountant. I said, what is my slogan? When there is a need, there will be a supply. And I called Shile. I said, the money we need, God has provided it. Come meet the accountant and collect back your money. So will I now be bothered if any of you is not bringing money? The source of the supply of this ministry is from above. Hallelujah. But there is the word of God I apply in my prayer regularly. And you get disappointed when you put too much confidence in a man. They will disappoint you. Those that God has raised to sponsor his affair, he blesses them. And they will know it is God that is doing it. And their own way of showing appreciation is what they do for the advancement of the kingdom. You are fulfilling a law of God. You never go unrewarded. It is thus said a lot. It's a principle for prosperity. When people don't know the principle of sowing and reaping, the last thing that you do is to consume all your harvest. In the next season, you will have nothing left to sow. Therefore, next season, you have nothing to harvest. The last money you have, don't go to Mami Market and drink cocoa with it. Give it to a needy person. Something will come back. It is a principle. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. What did he say? Give.
Give, and it shall be given unto you.
This is another seed. It's another seed. There is the seed of the word of God. But this is another seed. This is the word of God. This is Jesus himself talking. What did he say?
Give, and it shall be given unto you.
Uh-huh.
Good measure,
uh-huh,
pressed down,
uh-huh,
and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again.
You see? And when they say measure, it's not about quantity. Do you imagine that all somebody has is 5,000 naira? He has no hope anywhere else. If he spends it, you know, nothing. And then he looks at some needy person. I'm not talking about going to the street, Babi Allah. I'm talking about brethren. Brethren. Can you read it, please, for me? Galatians chapter 6, and verse 9, 10, and 11. 9 and 10.
And let us not be weary in well-doing,
uh-huh,
for in due season we shall reap
if
we faint not.
No. Yes.
As we have therefore opportunity,
listen very well,
let us do good unto all men. Especially unto them.
Especially unto who?
Unto them who are of the household of faith.
Too good to brethren. For as much as you do to the least of these, my brethren, you have done it to me. And he that giveth to the poor, he's not the poor on the street, oh, is the poor calling upon that name. He said, you lend it unto God, he will pay you back. Church, when I say these things, it is what I practice. And I am not saying this to submit myself to Babi Alas. Don't call me. The people I give, there are no people who come to ask me. Because we know as they ask me, so they go around everybody they ask. So we give people as we are led. We see the need. I have to see it. And when I see it, why are you waiting for the person to come and ask you when you're in position to help? I'm not talking about people who stand at the gate today and look at which car you come and then, brother, look trouble today. You go see them when we close. You go see them when you close. You know, now course they follow them. Now course. That is how they live their life, beggarly life. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Every one of us, the action of a given, you are sowing. Receiving, you are a beggar. You will continue to have a need. Somebody let it break today. I didn't say if you have a genuine need, you should not ask. But let it not be your habit. Let it not be your habit. Praise the Lord. I am rounding up. He gives the power to make wealth. That power is the power of his word. Look for the word concerning every situation, and that is how you can pray. Lord, your word is saying. Are you hearing me? Lord, your word is saying. Look at your prophecy book, your book of Revelation, where you write them down. Some of you do that. And remind God. I think it's verse Psalm 119, verse 49. See the way the psalmist put it.
Remember the word unto thy servant.
You see?
Upon which thou hast caused me to hope.
Remember the word that has caused me to hope. You promise you will do this. You promise you will do this. You promise you will do this. Until the songwriter said, you promise that you will carry my load. Oh. He's reminding God. He's reminding God. If he didn't promise you that, if you join his sing, you're only singing to entertain yourself. Remind him, Lord, you said this so time. You said this through so person. Hallelujah. As we plant those promises in our hearts, the word of truth, the truth of the word germinates and testimony is achieved. That is the power. If you remember, Jesus Christ told Peter and the rest, cast thy net now, the other side. You do you know why he blessed them? You know, he was talking, he was preaching, and he borrowed their boat when people were too many. God does not owe anybody. So he borrowed their boat and went far into the water and was preaching from there. When he finished, for borrowing me your boat. What did he say? He said, now cast your net. You're fishermen. You go catch now. But Peter and the rest, they were saying, we toil all night. We toil all night. We didn't catch anything. Nevertheless, at thy word. Hey. Don't look at your situation. I am 50 years old now. I never get husband. But don't say the Lord, you had it. Don't say, can I still marry? Elizabeth, Zachariah, my priest was doubting my wife. When all old, will she still have a pikin? Is there anything too hard for God to do? Praise the Lord. They did it by their effort. They could not catch one single fish. But when they did it at the word of the Lord, their ship nearly sink because of the drought. Why? Heaven and earth shall pass away, but the word of God shall abide forever. It never fail. It never fail. Praise the Lord. And so you can now understand why he gave us this principle in John chapter 15. From verse 1, you now see the importance of the word of God.
I am the true vine.
Listen very well.
And my Father is the husbandman.
Yes.
Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, it taketh away. Uh-huh. And every branch that beareth fruit, it purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches.
You see?
He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit.
Uh-huh.
For without me, ye can do nothing.
Can do nothing. Without the word of God, you can do nothing. Go ahead.
If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire.
That is the miserable condition of many Christians. You confess Christianity, but nothing to show for it. Uh-huh.
And they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you.
Again, verse 7.
If ye abide in me.
If you abide in him, that is, if you trust him.
And my words abide in you.
And the words that he speaks to you, you receive it.
Ye shall ask what ye will.
Anything you apply that word that you receive from him,
and it shall be done unto you,
there will be results. Read on.
Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples.
It is his desire to see us, to see the evidence of the application of his word. That is what he's saying there.
As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you.
You see, and
that your joy might be full.
It is the Father's desire that all of us should be blessed. God is happy when he sees a child of his holding onto his word. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Quoting, making reference to a covenant because he believed it. Fear is the opposite of faith. Fear is the evidence that you don't believe what God says concerning the situation. Who can harm you if you be follower of that which is good? Which? Which shrine? Which demon? That is why Christians are admonished to pray without ceasing. It is only believers that know God answers prayers that have effective prayer life. That is the truth. And so it is an important principle, abiding in him and his word abiding in you. It's an important key or principle to the kingdom of heaven. And the kingdom of God is what? Righteousness,
peace and joy in the Holy Ghost.
Righteousness is ability to live a life pleasing before God. Only his word in you can achieve it. Peace, with all the trouble around you, only in him, in his word, can you have peace. Nothing will trouble you because you have answer to every situation by the word of God. Won't that challenge somebody to begin to read the scriptures now? There is also the joy. Joy, not the joy that you have made money. The joy of salvation. It covers every other area. It removes hypertension. All of us that put our confidence in God, not man, we never face disappointment. You promise me anything, you fail. Or I expect something from you, you fail. I just look at it. It means you are not the one God wants to use to bless me. I go back to him. Oh, praise the Lord. How many of you can, the end of the year, look back because you have caught the revelation and the power of thanksgiving? We don't need to come here and preach any special sermon on thanksgiving. A grateful heart will demonstrate it. Once at the end of the year, this church, and most churches do it, give opportunity to people to express their gratitude to God. But even that, there is a word of God for it. When you offer praise and thanksgiving, he promises that he will cause the earth to yield her increase. So why will you challenge God as you enter the new year? How did you appreciate him for the last year? It's a revelation. It's a revelation. And you have to honor him with a substance. That is why such thanksgiving is not only with mouth. And let me use this opportunity to tell you that monetize your thanksgiving. Don't go and fill our altar here with pure water. Want to do thanksgiving? Do thanksgiving. Look. The offering you are giving, something in your heart, you say, this should do something. This should do something. Those of us that are very benevolent, when you see somebody wearing a cloth that you sew for him, how do you feel? You feel very happy. I'm not talking about those who will point it out. You see that cloth, where Sydney they wear? Let me give him one. All the food where he chopped last month, let me buy for him. That one, politician, nothing. Christians don't do that. There are people looking for vain glory. But inside of you, you are happy. You are happy. Praise the Lord. When a sister, although, let me talk, Now God tell me to do them. So let me, now God will take all the glory. But that she was happy. That God told me that pay all her debt is a commandment. So there's nothing to glory in it. Maybe if you can't tell me, say you need that money, I will not give you. So no be me give you, now God give you. But she was on the floor in the office when the money was given to her. And I was joining, I was happy. So you mean, this I must have been tormenting this woman for so long until God heard her cry. And when did he hear the cry? During, is it communion? Workers, you see, despite that situation, she is busy serving the Lord as a worker in the church. With depths, with everything. She never approached the church. She was calling upon God. I was at the altar when he spoke to me. I went to her in the congregation. You. Okay, all of you were there that day. And all the debt. When she came, I said, how much are you owing? About 500 and something thousand naira. She did not ask the church. She did not ask anybody. But she was serving the Lord. There is a grace here. And she partook of that grace. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Always remember, in sowing the word of God, there is the sowing time and there is the reaping time. I want to emphasize it. Therefore, we need patience. If you are going to receive from God, you need patience. Like we read earlier in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, we shall reap in due season. That is why God is interested in training us to have the virtue of patience. Patience. He trained us by himself. When he's going to walk with you by faith, he will train you. And I have taught that here several times. How to have patience. And James added to that in James chapter 1 from verse 2.
My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations.
Listen, why you fall into different difficulties?
Knowing this, that the trying of your faith,
it is God training you,
worketh patience.
For faith. And it is supposed to produce what?
Patience.
Patience. And this is his advice.
But let patience have a perfect work.
You see, that if you are not patient, if you are not patient, you will not have the result.
But let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing.
That wait upon the Lord. What will happen? You renew your strength. In due season, you will testify. And everybody, we don't have the same season because we didn't have the same time we planted the word. And we don't even have the same situations. Wait for your own time. And the evidence that my own time is coming is the testimonies of others. Oh, praise the Lord. That is why we rejoice when our brethren are rejoicing. We don't get envious. Because when we rejoice, we join you to rejoice because my own is coming. You will soon join me also to rejoice. Christians don't get jealous, envy. No. It happened to you, my own is coming. As I attend your own, oh, make sure say, my own time, come and attend. Oh, you don't get husband. When is the wedding date? I must be there. So that when my own come, you too, you will join me to celebrate. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. So finally, Jesus had to offer this prayer in John chapter 17, verse 6 to 8.
I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word.
That is the final prayer of Jesus before he left.
Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me,
they have this revelation now. They know now who I am.
For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me.
What did he give to them?
The words.
What did he empower them with?
The words.
The word
which thou gavest me. And they have received them and have known surely that I came out from
thee. Short, they have received them.
And have known surely that I came out from thee. And they have believed that thou didst send me.
Verse 14.
I have given them thy word.
What did he give them?
Thy word.
What did he give them?
Thy word.
If God wants to bless you abundantly, he will give you the word that you will use to sow and hope upon. That is what a lot of Christians neglect and miss the promises of God. God works by principle. No harvest without sowing. And he's the one that will supply the seed for you. What a wonderful God. This is to provoke somebody to take attention away from gifted brothers and sisters that you chase after. Some of you make special friendship with some of them or some of us by giving those small, small 10,000, 50,000 and this. The difference between you and this one is that there are some people here who catch this revelation. When they want to bless ministers, they don't go to one. They go to them. They go to them. End of year is coming. Bless your ministers. I'm not advertising myself. I'm not the only minister here. But I didn't say you should not bless me. I'm saying bless those you know are laboring for the ministry. Bless these intercessors that have been standing the gap for your life to move forward. Bless them. Bless this musician that sweats from all the hours that are here. Apart from those who are sleeping, if you know them, when they see them, you will know those who are walking now. Then you know those when they stay for back. Those. I'm talking about those where will they see? They sweat. There's one, he will beat the drum. He will come and lead the song. He will go and back up. Only him. While the rest are sitting down there. Which department? Music department. Bless those who are cleaning this place. When we close now, you will go. They will remain here and clean everywhere and mop everywhere. Bless them. They are workers. They are the ministers in the church I'm talking about. I say ministers because we know who be minister. I'm not talking of chieftaincy title. We know those who are serving. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. On Thursday, we normally have record of how many people the ministers see. Last Thursday, Amarachi saw 72 people. 78. How many?
72.
No wonder on Friday she fell sick. Because virtue, these things train them. How can somebody be in the spirit for 70-something people in Ochopu? Has been in fasting since Wednesday morning. Bless them. Shut up.
Healing and deliverance.
Healing and deliverance ministers. From Wednesday, they are here throughout the night, fasting till they pray for the last person conducting deliverance and healing. Bless them at the end of the year.
That's right.
Bless them. Bless the people who are maintaining this place, maintenance department.
That's right.
You are here now, they are in the generator room in case power go up, bam, so that they will put it on, so that nothing will go. The IT department, hey, every day, 24 hours broadcasting, somebody is on duty, people are on duty. Bless them, they are the ministers I am referring to. Bless people you know are offering service to make you enjoy the service. It's a principle. If you bless them, if you receive them in the office that God has placed them to serve him, he said you are receiving him and you will receive the prophet's reward. You know what the prophet's reward is? Whatever he speaks to you, heaven backs it up. Let us stand up. do something that will change your life.